fasting. Things happen. It's an amazing time. This morning, our whole family, we all dressed ourselves. Rach usually lays out the clothes for everybody. This morning, Tommy dressed himself. He came out with red shorts on. I looked at that, I said, wow, his fashion sense is... Anyway, we let him wear the red shorts. But when I walked out the door, Rach said, why are you wearing those shoes? And so I apologize for the shoes. Apparently they're not in or something like that. Apparently we're going to the shops this afternoon to buy some new shoes. Anyway, hopefully you won't be distracted now. Take them off, yeah. I've got old socks on, so. I don't feel like I'm going to talk for a heap today, but I just feel the Lord wants to do something significant in our lives once again. We've been in this time of prayer and fasting, and it's just been amazing. As we get closer to God, He moves us, and often we think that God's doing something supernatural, He's moving in, but more than likely He's probably moving us, and we're getting closer to Him, and we're getting the heartbeat of heaven, and I'm so encouraged by that. This morning, I just feel the Lord wants to take us in for a tune-up. Who's ever been preparing to do a trip or whatever it is? And what do you do? If you're like me, you take your car in for a service just before you go on a long trip. We like to go full driving on the beach. And before we do a big trip like this, I'll always go to the mechanic and get him to service my car. The reason is because I don't want any inconvenience on the holidays, but also because we're going to be putting extra stress, extra load on the car, especially full driving, and I want the thing to perform. I want the thing to be running correctly. I want the thing to be performing. I want it tuned up, and I want this car right. And I believe the Lord wants us to have a tune-up this morning. And all that means is that we come back to the thing that is the main thing. We set our priorities back to the very thing that's in the heartbeat of God. And so, I believe as you hear this morning, He's going to refine your focus. I believe He's going to refine focus into why we're alive, why we're on this planet, why we're here, why we're placed in this place of Caboolture. He's going to refine focus this morning, and it's going to be like a mechanical tune-up when we leave, and who knows, it's healthy to have these times in life where we take time and we actually focus, and he redirects our focus and it tunes us in the heartbeat of God. About 2 weeks ago, the Lord started speaking to me about a passage in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It's a familiar verse, and for about 2 or 3 days, every time I just was walking along, working, driving, and I wasn't consciously thinking about something, this verse would come into my head. Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And so whether I was praying, it becomes annoying. It's like God is speaking. Just like, I get the point, but it's so great at the same time. Every time I would sit, every time I would reflect, this verse just kept coming back. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And so this is amazing. God's speaking to me. And so I felt that the Lord wanted to bring me back, bring our family back, and refine our focus back to the main thing. And during our prayer time, I think it was one night when Gwen was leading the prayer time, right at the end, she said, all those young people under the age of 40, she said, why don't you go and just lay hands on them and pray for them? And I had Stuart and Carol come and pray for me, and that was amazing. But right at the end of Carol's prayer, she prayed some great stuff, but right at the end she said, I feel the Lord's giving you this verse. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then she said some more stuff, which I've totally forgotten because I was blown away with God speaking.
She remembers.
And who loves a prophetic?
Yeah.
And this is so powerful that God can speak. He confirms his word, he confirms what he's saying. And so for the next couple of weeks, as a family, we've just been refining our focus. What has God said? What is he doing? And the last few days, I felt like this wasn't just a word for us, but this is a word for Hope Point Church. He wants to refine our focus to this verse, which is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. I feel like I'm just scraping the tip of the iceberg on this issue. But I feel the Lord wants to encourage us this morning with what he wants to say. Maybe some of you guys are living in this, maybe some of you aren't. But whatever position you find, I believe the Lord wants to encourage us this morning. So let's read it. We'll read a few verses before. Let's start in maybe verse 27. Matthew 6, we'll start in verse 27. It says, can any of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And here it is, our key verse, verse 33. It says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The first comment I want to make in regards to this passage is that righteousness and kingdom are two separate things. It says here, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. It's not like this is an added extra. This is not different. All Jesus is doing here is he's actually putting emphasis on righteousness. Because in Romans 14 and 17 it says, the kingdom is not a matter of meat and drink, but righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness is part of the kingdom. Here Jesus knows that he's wanting to put emphasis on this issue of righteousness. The issue of righteousness is huge. In Christ, we are righteous, yeah? How many know that when we come to Christ and we're born again, that when God sees us, he actually sees Jesus? Our sins are forgiven. He sees Jesus. We're perfectly righteous before the Father. But how many know that he also commands us to be holy? This is crazy. We're righteous, but he commands us to be holy. It's because he wants to encourage us that positionally, our behavior needs to line up with our position. There's no point in saying I'm righteous if our behavior says something else. Positionally, we are righteous, but our behavior has to line up in that righteousness before God. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We've got a keen student here. This is amazing, this verse. Historically, this is how I used to interpret this verse. This wasn't because of the preaching here, this is just my head. historically. So in the past, this is how I interpreted this verse. We've got to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek God number one. Then I would say, this is how I thought. Number two, probably should be maybe family. Then maybe three, ministry. Maybe four, work, whatever you want. You get down the list. We've got a list of priorities. This is how I approached this topic. I had a priority list. And so, in a given day, let's say I would wake up, I would seek God first. I would go into my bedroom or wherever, I'll read the Bible, I'll do some praying, have a good time with God, then I'll shut the door, lock the door, walk out, go to work, do whatever you do. And it wasn't that I denied the existence of God in those parts of my life, but the kingdom wasn't really coming with me. Does anyone understand?
Yes.
Good. It's clear as mud. The kingdom wasn't really coming with me. It was as though I left it in that bedroom, that place with God. And look, I would still pray if I had an issue or a situation, but it was like the kingdom wasn't part of these other areas. It was reserved for this time in the morning or at night or whatever time I would come and have my devotions with God. That was me seeking first the kingdom. But what about if that's not what this verse means? What about if this verse means seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, full stop? Period. Done. I know, it messes with your head. Because you'll say, well, what about your kids? What about your family? What about all this stuff that's really important? And that's the point. Is when I actually seek him, I get his heart, then stuff flows out of that. What about if it's just one thing we're seeking? What about if God actually doesn't have a list like we do? What if he's saying, just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You do that and all this other stuff, I'll do. What about if that is the word of God? It messes with your head because we often think, well, a lifestyle like that is going to cause neglect. A lifestyle like that is going to cause you to neglect your wife, cause you to neglect your kids. What about your work? You're seeking first the kingdom and nothing else. That's going to cause you to neglect your work. I've found the opposite to be true. I've experienced both of these. I found the opposite to be true. I found that when I seek first the kingdom, full stop, end of story, period, I actually become a better husband. It's crazy. Isn't it crazy? In the gospel, 1 + 1 doesn't always equal 2. Until we understand that, it will do your head in. Sometimes 1 + 1 = 3. Sometimes 1 + 1 = 109. It's because in the gospel, we live in an actual supernatural lifestyle. We live in a gospel that's powerful. We live in a God who can do impossible things. So, is it possible that I can actually be seeking God and my marriage is thriving? Absolutely. Is it possible that my number one goal is to seek God and my kids are growing up in a healthy family? Is it possible that I can be seeking God as and that's it. And my business can be booming. Stay with me, don't leave here. I want to read a testimony. This was written about 40 plus years ago by a guy called Chris Bolton at Bethel Church. This is what it says. He says, when I first read the scripture, Matthew 6:33, I started coming up with this list in my head. First I seek the kingdom, then I do ministry, or my family, then my job, etc. Not realizing that God doesn't have a list like this. He only has the kingdom, then nothing else. If you're doing anything that isn't in the kingdom, stop doing it. When I heard this, I thought, well, I'm not going to be doing much. Who's been there? But later I began to realize that when I received Jesus, I became a part of his royal priesthood. Because I am now saved, I am sacred, and everything I do is sacred. I began to realize that when I go to work, I'm going to the kingdom. I'm not working for the king, I'm working with the king. I began to realize that the kingdom is not restrained to the walls of the church. If I lay hands on the sick in the church, they get healed. Then why can't I lay hands on my cars? Because I'm a mechanic and I'm a royal priest. Then maybe God will fix cars. Pretty soon the Lord began to show me things that were wrong with cars. I mean, he's a great physician. Why can't he be a great technician? Suddenly I found out seeking first the kingdom wasn't what I thought it was at all. What about if the kingdom was in every part of our life? What about if this issue of priorities didn't exist? What about if when Jesus actually said this, it was actually deliberate and it actually goes against what we think? What about if he's made a way where as we seek first the kingdom of God, he will actually then be released out of all those things? What would it actually look like if we seek first the kingdom of God and took our hands off the other things? What would it look like? Maybe there is fear and neglect. But maybe God knows something we don't. Maybe God's designed something here that we don't know, that as we seek him first, all these things will be added to us. This whole deal of seeking first the kingdom is all to do about lordship. It's all to do about lordship. When Alan Wise was here a few months ago, he preached and he was talking about that Jesus isn't just our Savior, but he's our Lord. I think sometimes we overemphasize that side of Savior. This is amazing. He's pulled us from the darkness. He's put us into his glorious light. But then we don't step into this part that he's actually Lord. Which means that he's the boss. Which means that we actually submit all control of our life to somebody else. It means we submit to his direction. We submit to his leading. Not only is he Savior, but he's Lord. And I would say this morning that the Christian life does not make sense if you're purely just saved. He's got to be Savior and he's got to be Lord. It will not make any sense. It will end in frustration. It will end up in priority lists. It will end up in who knows where, because he has designed it this way, that we actually come into a relationship with him where it's all built on trust, where we trust our perfect Father to say, you can take that all. My career aspirations, I lay it down on the altar because I'm going to seek you first. I'm actually removing the right to a dream, to a goal that's in my heart, because I'm laying it on the altar. Who knows that God is more interested in fulfilling your dreams than you are? So it's a crazy exchange that happens. We don't lay everything on the altar and then walk away in poverty and anxiety and fear. We actually lay these things on the altar and seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added. Jesus said about his disciples, he said, I know that you've left everything, and I'm going to repay it 100-fold. But it's that place where we come and we lay everything down. All our dreams, all our possessions, all our aspirations for whatever it is, our education, whatever it is, we lay it down on the altar. Then we lay our heart on the altar. And then we lay our head on the altar. And we say, you can have it all. I'm going to pursue one thing. I'm going to pursue one thing, and that's it. One plus one doesn't always equal two. Who knows that sometimes in life, we can actually get what we want. And when I think back in my life, and I think there were some things in my life where I made happen. Whether it was a career choice, whether it was a position, whether it was finances, whether it was money, whether it was the acquisition of things, I had the ability to make it happen, and in a lot of cases I did. But oftentimes if we can actually allow things to come into our life before the right season, and those very things that we want end up warring against our affection for God. It's because it's in the wrong season. The alternative is we seek first the kingdom of God and we lay it all down, and then we trust Him as a perfect Father that He will actually give us these things in the right season. I look back at my life and see often times where I forced things into my life. I wasn't interested in discussing it with God. I wasn't interested in a conversation with the Lord about it. I want this, I want this, I want this position. I'm going to do this. I'm going to force my way in. And the amazing thing is that God is so redemptive that everything works together for good. Isn't that crazy? But a lot of things that I forced into my life at that time actually took my affection away from God. And so I encourage you to come into that place of trust and allow Him to be Lord of your life, where you can just rest and say, God, whatever it is that I need, you can initiate that. Because He will. Oftentimes we have something that in the right season could be such a blessing, could be such a support to us, and we pull it out of that season and we want it out of greed or whatever reason, and it literally ends up turning our affection away from the Lord of love. The want for material things. If you're single, the want to get married. Positions. Promotions, all these things out of the right sequence, all these things out of the right season will actually turn your affection away, and your affection will actually be warring with God. This was my personal story. There was a lot of areas that God was blessing me in, blessing our family in, but a lot of it was self-imposed. A lot of it was, this is my desire, and I wouldn't even consult God on the issue. And maybe it was something that was burning in the heart of God, but it was the wrong season. And some of that stuff we pushed and we brought into our lives. And like I said before, it's amazing because God is redemptive. He does work everything together for good. But in this pursuit of this one thing, to seek first the kingdom, We have to trust a perfect Father that He will only bring things in our life so rather than destroying us, they'll actually strengthen us. I've seen many people and I've sat with them and I've prayed with them and we've believed for financial provision, and then all of a sudden there's blessing there and you never see them again. They turn their back on God until the next problem. And God is so loving and merciful that He works with us as human beings. But what about if we came to that place of vulnerability, of trust with the Heavenly Father that said, like it says in Matthew 6:33, I'm going to do what you've commanded me to do, and I entrust everything else to you. What would that look like? That could be scary. But what would that look like? What would that look like for whatever you're going through? We seek first the kingdom and let Him add all these things to us. We're in a season now where we're honestly not interested in anything unless God initiates it. And by the way, on this whole deal, the Lord is correcting us all the time. Like the prophetic word a few weeks ago. The Lord wouldn't have spoke to me if I had it all perfectly and all set. But because He's such a loving Father, He wants to bring correction. He wants to bring focus back. And so sometimes it's weekly, sometimes it's daily where I have to bring my focus back and say, hang on, this is about the one thing. Because we forget, I forget all the time. But in this season we're in now, it's different. It's different because we wait for Him to initiate things. We're pursuing one thing. That doesn't mean we don't work. Doesn't mean we don't have kids. Doesn't mean we don't do stuff. Doesn't mean we don't intentionally do a lot of healthy things. But we're pursuing one thing. And we wait for God to initiate all the other things. Is it possible to get your business off the ground? The best business strategy you can do is seek first the kingdom. It's crazy. Because 1 + 1 doesn't always equal 2. I've seen it in my own life. We arrived back in Australia. Honestly, we didn't do a thing until God directed us. And I've seen that we've seen the provision of God. We were talking about this last night, saying financially the maths does not add up. Financially the maths does not add up. The provision of God in our life at the moment. It's crazy. But what would happen if... And look, we are doing things, don't get me wrong, we're not actually asking God to come and post our ads on Facebook and Gumtree. We're physically doing that. But what I'm saying is we're living in a place where we're wanting to hear what He wants to do. We don't want to move until He says something. And when He gives us great thoughts about how to market a business or whatever it is, that's great, we do that. But our focus isn't about building a big business. The focus is about seeking first the kingdom. And I've done it both ways. And not only is this way a lot better, but it's glorifying to God. I've tried to be a good husband for a long time. I've had some success, I've had some failure. I still do. But all I know is, you can ask Rachel, she's unbiased. The times where we're at each other, the times where there's friction, is where we're not seeking God. The times where we actually come into conflict, and I'm not talking about having a robust discussion, I mean, we do that all the time. But the times we come into conflict and the issues of life is when we're not seeking the one thing. That's the times when we all of a sudden, our mind, our attention is on other things. Oh, material wealth or whatever it is. We got that was so good how the Lord said brings us back to focus. The one thing. Oh, that sounded good. The one thing. John 16:12. If we can just go there, John chapter 16, verse 12. There's one verse here. This is what it says. It says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. The context of this verse is that Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's been with these guys for 3.5 years. He's about to die. And here he comes and he says, guys, I have so much more that I want to say to you, but you can't bear it. Why couldn't they bear it? Because they didn't have the ability to carry the weight about what he was going to say, what he wanted to release, the revelation in the heart of God. You can see his heart breaking, saying, I have so much more to say, but I can't say it now, because you can't carry the weight of what I want to say. And as we read on there, he talks about the Holy Spirit. But what I want to say about this verse is that today, God would say the same at the Hope Point. He would say, there's so much more I want to take you into. There's so much more revelation. There's so much more of my glory I want to show you. But maybe you can't bear it. Maybe you can't bear it. The word glory that we often talk about, this word glory that we see in Scripture, that people often drop this phrase about the glory of God, literally means the weightiness of God. It literally means the weightiness of God. I'm skipping around a little bit, but stay with me. In the parable of the sower, it talks about the soil that was crowded and affected by the cares of this world. Who remembers that? Parable of the sower. It's that mind, it's that heart that's consumed with the cares of the world. And he calls it a divided mind, a divided heart. The Lord is looking to release revelation. He's looking to release his glory. He's looking to release a brand new thing. But he cannot do it on divided hearts. It's not out of punishment, it's out of protection. If you load up something that is divided, the division's going to get worse. If you load something that has a fracture, the fracture's going to get worse. The Lord, in his mercy, will withhold what he wants to do until we are at this place of single-mindedness, till we can actually carry the weight of what he wants to do. Bev had a prophetic word this morning, and God was speaking powerfully about raising up an army that's going to speak life. The Lord is wanting to do so many new things in the life of our church. But sometimes his hand is withheld because he's looking for a church. He's looking for people that have the ability to carry the weight of what he wants to pour out. And here in the parable of the sower, it says those who have divided minds, those who are worried about the cares of this world, it's a divided mind. Earlier in this chapter in Matthew, it says, Matthew 6 verse 22, it says, if your eye is single, your whole body will be filled with light. It's that singleness of heart, that singleness of picking that voyage and saying, this is the one thing I'm going after. This is the one thing. It's all about him. It's all about seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. It's that moment in time when we decide and we say, that's it, no matter what's happened in the past, this is the path I'm choosing. It's him. My ultimate yes is to him. And that is a person the Lord can put weight upon. Because it's not divided. It's not worried about the cares of this world. It's a divided house. And this is what he wants to do. He wants to pour out upon us. But while we're divided, while we're fractured, while we're worried about the cares of the world, while we're seeking after this stuff, there's only so much he can do it out in our midst. Sasha, I might get you to come up. Just as we finish up. The Lord is looking for that ultimate yes. He's looking for a group of people that will say, we're now chasing one thing. We're now going after one thing. We don't have our list of priorities here. We're going after one thing. And we're actually coming into a place of vulnerability. We're coming into a place of trust with a perfect Father that will add all these things. Excited about what God's going to do. There seems to be an expectation about what God's going to bring in, but he is looking for those who will steward what he's going to do correctly, those who can carry the weight of what he wants to do. And we do that through this single-mindedness. We do that through this place where we get and we say we're going after one thing, and that's him. Sasha's just going to play something as we finish up. I heard this story. I did try and look it up on the internet so that I could read it accurately and not destroy it, but I'm going to do my best. I heard this story quite a few years ago. There was a man, and he was really into athletics and sports. And he was really talented, he being quite successful in sport. And one day he had a motor vehicle accident and he lost his arm. One arm was totally severed in this car accident. And after the surgery, after the recovery, and after he was back home, he still woke up with that sense of competition. He still woke up with that sense that he wanted to compete. He wanted to play sport. He wanted to compete at the highest level. And so he started to think about what he could do. And obviously having one arm removes a lot of your opportunities for different sports. And so he started to play this game called handball. And handball's not, it's pretty common around the world, not so much in Australia. The handball we know is like at school with a tennis ball and you just bounce it between the lines. But this is actually a game where I think it's like squash, but you literally hit the ball with your hand and you bounce it off the balls and stuff. It's quite a big sport. So he got fully into this game called handball, and he found out that he was quite good at it. And throughout the years, he started to, he joined the club, he started to compete, he was winning club tournaments. Not before too long, he was in the state championship, and he was doing really well at this game of handball. And he was competing in the grand final of the state championship. And he ended up winning the game. And the news reporter came to him afterwards and said, how is it possible that you can beat all your opponents with one hand when they've got two? And straight away he said, well, that's easy, options. And the reporter said, excuse me, options? He said, yeah, it's easy. He said, when I hit the ball on the wall, my opponents have to make a decision, a split decision, what hand they're going to use to hit the ball by. He said, it's easy, I've already decided. I just feel the Lord wants us to move into this space where we just seek the one thing. Where we actually remove all the other options, the cares of this world, the other things, and we just entrust that to Him and we say, we're just going for one thing. Could we be a church that just goes for one thing? What would it look like? It could be scary. A heap of stuff could happen, who knows what. But what about if we were a church that just went for one thing? In our lives, where we were all about just seeking first the kingdom. Not just a time left alone, locked in our house, but the kingdom that is actually with us wherever we go. So that as we pursue Him, the kingdom just impacts all areas of life. Is it possible that as you just pursue this one thing, that the Lord would actually come and help you in your relationship with your kids? Is it possible that I could be a successful business person as I pursue the one thing? Is it possible that my marriage can thrive, my family can thrive when I pursue the one thing? I would say yes. It's not because it's my idea, but it's found in Him. It's the words of Jesus. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This morning we're just going to worship for a moment. I hope this morning you've heard more than just my words, because you'll leave disappointed. I hope the Spirit of God has touched your heart, that maybe something that was dead is now coming back to life, that maybe something where there's been missed priorities is now coming back into alignment. If that's you, even if you've been someone who has seek God with all your heart, but you just say afresh this morning, yep, I'm just going to realign, I'm going to reach in, I'm going to bring focus once again. Just as we sing this song, I want you to stand. If that's you this morning, just as we worship Him, I just want you to stand where you are. You don't have to come out the front. Just as a declaration to the Lord about this is a new moment. This is a new time in your life, in the life of the church, where we're going to seek first Him above anything else. Amen?
I want to sing a little song, just to bless your hearts, like a couple of words up. This,